A sermon by Reverend Richard A. Rem, preached at Christ Community Church in Spring Lake, Michigan, on October 22, 1989, in the series The Worship of the Church, entitled Lost in Wonder, Love, and Praise. The scripture reading is Psalm 145, verses 1 through 13. The text for the sermon, Psalm 145, verses 1 and 5. Copyright, Grand Valley State University.
The organ is just one of the accoutrements of worship, and with the richness that it provides, it is able to paint a picture in sound. But as you noticed, as Mr. Sambach was speaking, he talked about a tone being warm. Well, tones aren't warm or cold, but language breaks down, and we borrow symbol and metaphor and image in order to communicate meaning. And when one is talking about worship, one runs into the same kind of problem. When one comes to the encounter with God, one runs out of language. One runs out of ideas or concepts, because the worship of God is something that is beyond our rational capacity to comprehend. Worship is offered from the depths of our being, and where it truly happens for us, we are lost in wonder, love, and praise. And it is always the purpose of every service of worship to move you to that kind of ecstasy. Now, I said last week that we worship God. God is the object of our worship, or perhaps better, the subject of our worship. We do not come here to be entertained. We do not come here to hear a scintillating lecture. We do not come here to hear grand music. We do not come here to get an emotional high, to get a fix for the week, because worship is theocentric. It is directed to God. It is God-centered. We come here for God's sake, not for our own, primarily. But I did say last week as well, that when worship is truly engaged in, there is a reflex, a repercussion. There is the transformation of the person who has truly worshiped, who has been lost in wonder, love, and praise. Human transformation is not the primary end. It is the secondary effect, but a very important effect it is. And it is precisely in the ecstasy of worship that life is transformed, and from that transformation flows the practical implications of Christian living. Otherwise religion becomes simply morality. Otherwise, all of the do's and the don'ts and the tyranny of the oughts and the shoulds compel us and coerce us and force us. But when our lives have been opened up and encountered by a grace and a grandeur, a mystery and a majesty unsearchable and incomprehensible, then paradoxically, life is transformed and flows outward in the practical service of Christian living. It is our purpose here to worship God. And secondarily, having worshiped God, to come to that moment of ecstasy that changes everything, that changes us. Ecstasy comes from the Greek language. Ek is out of, and stasis is in a condition of standstill. And one who is ecstatic is one who is taken out of that stasis, out of that standstill, released, liberated, freed. The person who is ecstatic is taken out of him or herself, let loose, as it were. And that worship, which is truly engaged in, so that one indeed breaks through or is broken through to, that person knows that ecstatic moment that is transforming. Now, I could tell you all on command, give me a little instant ecstasy. And of course, you can't do it on command, and I can't make it happen. But in the scriptures, we learn that that ecstasy is the overflowing of the soul that has placed itself in the presence of the good and gracious God. So that the psalmist, for example, says, I will extol thee, O God, my King, and bless thy name forever and ever. Why? Well, because the Lord is great and worthy of all praise. Well, why? Well, one generation shall commend thy works to another and set forth thy mighty deeds. My theme shall be thy marvelous works. A Jewish writer has said that the whole Testament flows out of a moment in history when a bunch of slaves in Egypt sensed the very presence of the living God who set them free and gave them a future and a hope. And the Christian church has, down through the centuries, found that moment of incarnation, crucifixion, and resurrection as that tangible and concrete presence of God in our history, which we have sung about, praised, and adored for. We have celebrated the reality of God's presence with us in history. And we pick up those mighty acts of God, those mighty deeds of redemption in the past, and then find, as we praise God for God's gracious redemption, that in our personal experience we find it is so as well. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, forbearing and steadfast in love. The Lord is good to all, and God's tender care rests on all God's creatures. That mighty God of the mighty acts of salvation becomes my God, full of grace, steadfast love. God is unsearchable, incomprehensible, full of mystery and majesty, grandeur and power. And we go about our ordinary lives and our ordinary days, and then something jolts us, and we come to see our own fragility, our own littleness. The World Series is scheduled, and the earth rumbles and quakes. And paradoxically, I suppose there will be more people in church in San Francisco and Oakland today than if either team had cleaned up the series this week past. Because suddenly, Suddenly we see what straws in the wind. By what fragile a thread our life hangs. And we fall to our knees before that awesome and sometimes fearful, tremendous, awesome power. But we worship, and we sing, and we pray, and we rest, because that power beyond the cosmos, that one who holds the world in his hand, has been revealed to us as a good shepherd, as a Savior full of grace, as a tender God who cares for his children. And when that comes into focus, when in a moment we are overwhelmed with that sense, we worship, and we lose ourselves in wonder, love, and praise. And nothing is ever the same again. Come earthquake, hail, fire, or storm, tribulation, persecution, nakedness, peril, sword, suddenly, in a moment, in the ecstasy of worship, we know God at our right hand, we shall not be moved. And everything we do, every service of worship, every movement, every action, every hymn, every prayer, everything is that by ear and eye, mind and heart, just maybe, the glory might break through.